Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
One group that is actively working to clarify what is happening in our business lives is AMRO. And every year they do their ASEAN Plus 3 Regional Economic Outlook, or AREO. It's a flagship report published by them. In the fifth edition, the AREO 2021 discusses the most pressing issues pertaining to growth outlook marked by the ongoing pandemic, also the evolving trade and technology landscape. Joining us now to talk about the AREO 2021 is Lillian Ong, Group Head for Financial Surveillance and Acting Group Head for Regional Surveillance at AMRO. Lillian, great to have you on Money FM Weekend Mornings.
Morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. Although I'm not sure if I should thank you for making me think about the state of the world on such a lovely day.
Well, if it's any consolation, it's going to rain later on, so that might be more appropriate, right, in some ways. But all that aside, we do thank you for coming on a Sunday morning to talk about this. You know, business never stops. People never stop thinking about business, how they can do it better, what the impact of different events around them will have on their business life and their industries. And that's why I think this AREO 2021 is so valuable to everybody. They can really understand the lay of the land, what some of the key issues are, and perhaps glean some strategies from that. Give us an overview, if you don't mind, because you were instrumental in putting this report together. I know you and there's a great team there at AMRO as well, but tell us, give us an overview of the report and what it entails.
So Glenn, the report started in 2017. The inception was in 2017, and since then, it's come out every year around the April-May period. And what we try to do is to have both a short-term and a longer-term view of the region in the report. So the short-term, or conjunctural, as we call it, looks at what's happening in the next year or two. So it's a short-term outlook, so to speak. And then we have one that is, of course, going to drive growth in the longer term. So the structural issues confronting the region, so that becomes the second part of the report. And this year, as you said, we have the usual outlook, the challenges, the prospects for the region in the short term, and a second chapter on global value chains, which, of course, as we know, has become the topic of the moment during this pandemic.
Any surprises as you did the research and looked around? Not only, well, we know the big impact of COVID-19, but any surprises in the results or the things that you found in this report?
No, I mean, we've been looking at it, as you know. I mean, these things are an ongoing surveillance exercise, and I think the big thing that comes out of it is, we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. Just as you think things are improving, with the pandemic coming off, the waves of infection moderating, and vaccines coming online, and then you hear about a new variant. So you go back and revisit your baseline scenario again, and maybe tweak your adverse and your upside scenario. So I think it will be the year of the unknown, and you're going to see, just like last year, a lot of forecasts change very quickly as new information comes out about the pandemic. I think that will drive growth this year.
Yeah. And we do want to talk about some of the specifics of what was in this AREO 2021 in just a moment. A more general question first, though, and that is, do you find that organizations spend enough time looking at reports like this or looking at other bits of research to really dig down and find how the research applies to their organization, to their business plan? Do business leaders spend enough time thinking about these issues?
Well, we do get feedback, and sometimes from surprising sources. I think they do, but it's also incumbent upon us as the producers of those reports to make it digestible. Mm. So in the ARIO, for instance, you know, we have the main text, which can wrap it on a bit. but we also try to have little, how shall we say, vignettes, like little boxes, which may be of interest to, you know, the people who might be more technical. The broader text is for general reading. And then maybe more technical issues in appendices, etc., or, you know, statistics. So I think it's also incumbent upon us, especially in this day and age where there is so much information coming in from everywhere, to make sure that, you know, if we want our report read, it should be digestible and easily accessible to all.
We're talking with Lillian Ong, the group head for financial surveillance and acting group head for regional surveillance at AMRO, and the one of the main authors of this new report, the ARIO 2021, discussing pressing issues pertaining to growth outlooks and marked by the ongoing pandemic and the evolving trade and technology landscape that we face across ASEAN. What type of company, or is there a specific type of company or size of company that benefits from looking at the ARIO 2021 and taking away some of those great takeaways?
I think it, you know, just as I said previously, that's a bit of everything for all. So, for instance, in this year's conjunctural chapter, and in, you know, every year, we look at what is topical. So this year, of course, you know, the pandemic and how it will, the scenarios, upside, downside. So if you are interested in, you know, what could be the worst thing that could happen, you know, the upside of the vaccines, travel, it's there. If you want to look at trade, so if you are a trade-minded or trade-focused company, we talk about that. We talk about, you know, the U.S.-China trade deal, how that's progressing. We look at, if you are concerned about economic scarring, which of course is, you know, the phrase of the year, then we also have a section where we look at what's going to happen, and maybe we'll discuss this later, in markets, how that's affecting or could affect banking books. And if you are a policymaker in, you know, interested in policy, or a company that is thinking, you know, what are policymakers thinking? Because we interact a lot with our member authorities, we also have a section on that, you know, where we think policy is heading, what the current stance is, and so forth.
Very interesting. I know the report is very rich. There is a lot in there. Let's get right into it. What are some of the ASEAN plus three regions' economic outlooks looking like for 2021, 2022? What are some of the big headline takeaways?
Okay, so I think for the coming year, the takeaway will be that growth will rebound. And we are projecting for the region 6.7% this year after a marginal contraction last year, you know, it contracted at 0.2%. And then it will moderate to 4.9% in 2020. Part of the strong rebound will be because of the low base last year. Mm. And this number will large, and this, you know, 6.7% number will be largely driven by China, of course, where we are forecasting growth of 8.7%. The ASEAN sub-region as a whole is projected to grow at about 4.9%. It sounds, you know, and I say about, it sounds very precise. And some of the factors I think that, you know, as I said earlier, that we've incorporated in, but that is going to change over time. We are into our baseline scenario. We've incorporated a gradual relaxation of physical restrictions, gradual border reopenings, and maybe if, you know, all else goes well, a full reopening by the end of 2022. Mm. Although with these new variants, who knows? Yeah. Externally, we are looking at a resurgence, you know, the negative bit, you know, so that's, those are the positive factors. On the negative side, you know, resurgence in infections again, and we have seen that already. The US-China trade and tech tensions, which I think has sort of gone, you know, sort of to the background because of what's happening with the pandemic. And then the scarring, as I said earlier, scarring of the economy, the old economy, what's going to happen. So that is baked into our baseline. And then we have the upside and downside, of course.
Yeah, Lillian, it's great to see that you're predicting the kind of rebound, as you mentioned, 4% for ASEAN, 6.7% overall in 2021. Are there specific companies or specific businesses that you think will see the most upside as a result of that positive bounce coming back?
Yeah, we see, obviously, manufacturing has already bounced back. And as companies go more into, and, you know, I think this pandemic has forced everyone, you know, or you see this flight to technology. So I think as these manufacturing companies become more familiar with these new technologies, we're going to see a pickup in productivity as well. And of course, you know, the ones that are or have suffered and will continue to suffer are the more face-to-face service type industries. Tourism is a big one. So you're seeing a bifurcation, I think, in what's happening in terms of the recovery. And I think that's what we are concerned about. You know, the ones that have that are still under the yoke, so to speak, you know, permanent scarring or some form of scarring going forward.
Yeah, and would it be right to assume that much of that bounce back, that 6.7%, would be kind of pent up demand that has been, you know, money that's been looking for a place to go for the past year, or people, like you say, finally getting out because of physical restrictions have been relaxed? It's not necessarily true growth, right, in a particular industry, but just people getting out finally after a long winter, if you will.
Yes, I think it will be that in part. Obviously, you know, and we hear and read a lot about people not being able to spend their vacation money, for instance,
sure,
right? Using it for something else. And can you imagine when borders reopen, the pent up demand that's going to sort of let loose? You know, you're seeing already bookings whenever travel is allowed in some countries. So yes, absolutely, there will be that pent up demand that will come. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We saw that, you know, in the, and I'm dating myself here, in the recovery from the Asian financial crisis, there was this huge pent up demand that sort of helped surge the recovery.
Do you sense that this recovery might be different, though? Because as we have seen already, there's new variants, new strains of COVID-19 coming out that are, for example, pushing India into a new lockdown phase. Japan has had trouble. We've seen a number of countries, not only in Asia, but around Europe, et cetera, that are seeing new variants come. Could this affect that bounce back recovery in a way that the Asian economic crisis didn't have any limits on it when the bounce back started then?
Yes. I mean, we saw that last year. If you look at the trajectory of the recovery, you had that lockdown period, the great lockdown, you know, as the IMF very nicely terms it. And then it was a quarter of really, really bad data. And then you had a very sharp rebound once reopening starts, right? Because it wasn't a financial crisis that really got into the bones of the economy. And, you know, keeping our fingers and toes crossed that that won't come to pass as well post-pandemic. Yeah. So we already see that in the rebound, you know, of the recovery. And I think we will see that, you know, going forward, because it is very much, as you have intimated, it's a stop-start recovery, isn't it? Some countries go, you know, they sort of come flying out and then they have to shut down again. So I think that's going to be a problem. But having said that, I think we've all noticed that countries have become much more adept at managing surges now in infections. We are unlikely to see this create lockdown again, it's going to be more targeted, either to provinces, cities, etc. So I think in that regard, everyone's adapting and learning how to deal with this. And hopefully, at some stage, the vaccines will catch up.
Isn't that hard? Does that make it, I guess, additionally hard for companies to use research to plan if this, you know, the rebound has been a W, it's been now probably a couple of W's, or maybe several W's. Maybe it's www.recovery.com here in terms of the ups and downs that we've seen and continue to see. Does that make it difficult from your perspective to try to get a hold on this research that you're doing and see really what direction things will go with it with such an uncertain future?
So we always think that the way we look at our research is that, you know, it's never going to be precise, as we talked about right at the start, right? But I think the trajectory is there. The vaccines are there. Mm. It's a matter of the trend of the, the pandemic and the speed of vaccinations. Of course, I raised this earlier, the new variants that come, are they going to be yet a whole new round of a pandemic, a whole new pandemic again? Or is it going to be manageable? Mm. But markets, if you look at markets, the trend is there. Ever since March, April last year, markets have, turned around and have been quite buoyant. So they are obviously thinking, well, whatever it is, it's manageable. Mm. But of course, the danger then is that one day, they wake up and say, oh, hang on, maybe we are running ahead of ourselves.
Right.
And then, they sort of converge with what's really happening in the real economy. But by and large, I think the general, if you just look at markets right now, the perception is that countries have learned to deal with it better. And they, things are on a better trajectory now.
Yeah, we're talking with Lillian Ong from AMRO. We have seen the ASEAN plus three economies be really an engine for global growth in the past decade or so prior to COVID-19. Do you think that this region, as we now kind of wobble back in some way, shape, or form to some sort of normality, that ASEAN will still have this kind of huge impact on driving global growth?
Yes. In fact, Glenn, I think Asia, the ASEAN plus three region, will actually play an increasingly important role in global growth. It is and will continue to be, of course, one of the fastest growing regions in the world. It's expected to expand by 5 to 6% in the coming years. And I think most other regions would love to have that kind of luxury.
Sure.
So we have and this was covered in, if you don't mind, again, my product placement, last year's REO, where we talk about the Factory Asia and Shopper Asia phenomena. On the manufacturing front, and we talked about the quick recovery this time around, the region produces almost half of the world's goods. Mm. And you're going to see, as we become wealthier, deepening intra-regional demand and lessons learned from the pandemic about having to diversify our supply chains. I think that will strengthen the region's growth and, our resilience as we learn to do better risk management. And as I mentioned earlier, the pandemic has accelerated our flight to digital. So manufacturing productivity should benefit from that as everyone adopts these new technologies. And then on the consumption front, it's quite a surprising number when you look at it. But over the next 10 years, Asia is estimated to contribute more than 40% of urban consumption growth over the next decade.
Wow.
Right. So we are
just,
the emerging
middle class that's coming throughout Asia.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the Shopper Asia part that we look at. But I have to also be more balanced and say, look at what will happen within the region. in terms of our dynamics, the pandemic and its recovery, you know, is going to cause inequality. I think that's something that's on everyone's minds. So within our region, any divergence in the pace and the quality of recovery from this pandemic could potentially lead to widening regional inequality. And I think that's something we have to be very careful of. Mm. And that's why, you know, things like vaccine diplomacy, making sure that, and I really like what, you know, the Gates Foundation, they have this quote, I think, what is it? COVID anywhere is COVID everywhere.
Yeah.
right? So,
sure.
So I think it's very important. I think that everyone gets their vaccines, because you can't just open up, you know, if everyone else is still closed.
Yeah. When you talk about some of these risks, you just mentioned, you know, the inequality that might be happening. That would certainly be one of them, I would think. But what are some of the other risks that would threaten the region's recovery as we go forward in 2021, 2022 and beyond, besides that inequality of vaccination programs, for example?
Mm. Well, it's, you know, I think it's going to be largely pandemic dependent. That's our view. We have this global risk map where we place our key risks, and many of them are pandemic dependent. So will there be permanent scarring of the corporate sector, right? And then that leads potentially to banking crisis if they cannot repay their loans, households, unemployment, again, if they cannot repay their mortgages. For the longer, maybe the medium term, if the fiscal spending has to continue, will that lead to a sovereign debt crisis? Having said that, you know, I shouldn't alarm everyone. In the region, we think policy space is still quite moderate. It has narrowed, and in some cases has moved from ample to moderate, but we still have a bit of room to maneuver. Yeah. But of course, it cannot last indefinitely.
Need to keep all of these things in the rearview mirror and in the front windscreen as well, don't we?
Yes.
So much going on. Lillian, thank you so much for being with us. If somebody wants to get a hold of this report, it is available, is it not, for them to view?
Yes, it's on our website. Amro-Asia.org.
Amro-Asia.org. Okay, we'll put that in the chat. Great to have you on today. Thanks for the report and the insights today. Lillian Ong, the Group Head for Financial Surveillance and Acting Group Head for Regional Surveillance at Amro. Pleasure to have you with us here on Money FM.
Thank you, Glenn. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, and you too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.